Hello, my name is Jill Taylor, IBM ECM Programs Manager, and I'd like to welcome you to our podcast on IBM Content and Predictive Analytics for Healthcare. And joining me today is Craig Reinhardt, Director of ECM Strategy and Market Development. Welcome, Craig.
Hi, Jill. It's good to be here.
Craig, would you tell us a bit about this new solution IBM is launching?
Sure, Jill. It's called IBM Content and Predictive Analytics for Healthcare. And it helps organizations in healthcare transform clinical and operational decision-making for improved outcomes. It does that by uniquely applying multiple analytics services to derive and act on new insights in ways that haven't been possible in the past. It's also the first solution designed to complement and leverage IBM Watson. And along with it, Jill, we've announced some new solution services that enable us to help customers maximize the value around this solution, as well as a workload optimized system that optimizes the performance from a hardware perspective with higher performance and superior economics.
What makes content and predictive analytics for healthcare so innovative, and how does it work?
Well, it does four things primarily, Jill, and the first thing is working with information. We extract medical facts and the relationships in information from multiple clinical and operational sources. And we do that for both structured and unstructured information. In the past, it's been really hard for healthcare organizations to deal with the unstructured information. It hasn't really been cost-effective or easy to do, resulting in most organizations have ignored it and have focused on applications and solutions that have been solely based on structured information. Well, when you consider that the unstructured information represents not only more than 80% of the available information, the information that's being stored today, but you also consider how much value the information in the unstructured represents. In healthcare, you have lab reports, which contain measurements. You have progress notes, which contain critical information about how the patient is progressing. There's all sorts of information and knowledge buried in the unstructured information. So it becomes critical that we not only use the structured, but we now unlock that unstructured information and use the two together when we're analyzing this information to make the right kinds of decisions. I mean, think about it. If a doctor is making a decision about your health, wouldn't you want them to have access to all of the information or just 20%? I mean, it's a pretty obvious thing. So the getting at this unstructured information is really something that's innovative here. The second point is, after we extract those facts and relationships, we analyze and visualize the information, and we can do that in past, present, and future scenarios. And this creates an evidence-based corpus of information that really can power decision-making. A couple of things enable this. One is content analytics. This is where we're leveraging that same natural language processing capability that we've previously talked about with IBM Watson. We're using it differently here to analyze trends and patterns and deviations in the information so that we can find out what are the connections in the information, what are the root causes, and learn new things about the connections between treatments and outcomes. We use predictive analytics as a way to score that information, evaluate it, do probability analysis so we can project forward what are the potential outcomes with a given set of scenarios. Wouldn't it be great if we could look at a patient population of high-risk patients for readmission and easily figure out and predict which ones are likely to be readmitted so we could take action and intervene and help those patients so that they don't have to come back to the hospital? Well, these are exactly the kinds of scenarios where this technology is being applied. And then lastly, we have a planned integration to IBM Watson for future capability to add in the question and response answering capability from that breakthrough technology that we all saw on the Jeopardy TV show. The third point, Jill, was around surfacing this information. We can do it in new ways and make it available now to not only clinical workers, but operational workers as well, so that regardless of your role, you have the opportunity to benefit from these new insights. And then the fourth point is, this is not an island. It's not a big thing that you have to put in. It integrates and leverages other systems within the healthcare, IT infrastructure, data warehouses, advanced case management, business analytics, master data management, patient records, all of these kinds of things that we would expect to be leveraged in the IT department of healthcare organization. So four things, Jill, and it was a kind of a wordy response, but there's a lot of innovation in here.
There sure is. And Craig, it seems like this solution would also have applicability in other industries, such as financial services or retail. Why is IBM introducing this solution in healthcare first?
Well, it does have applicability in other industries, Jill, and you'll see this thing become available in other industries over time. Retail is an area where there's a voice of the customer. Everyone's interested in social media and opinions and surveys, and being able to process that form of unstructured information is highly valuable. We see in financial services, research reports, and getting access to that information in the hands of people who are making trading decisions is an important thing. So you're going to see these kinds of solutions emerge in other industries. Healthcare, in particular, is an industry where, not only because of what we're doing with the Watson work, but in general, this is an industry that you can benefit from using this unstructured information. So it was sort of a no-brainer to start here. There are things going on in healthcare, such as incentives and in some cases even penalties. As a specific example, there are penalties coming out around discharges of patients from hospitals who get readmitted within 30 days. And if these patients who could have been prevented from readmission are actually readmitted, then there will be penalties to the providers. In other words, they have to take action and do a better job of stopping people who are high risk of readmission, intervening and getting them the care that they need. So the point being here, Jill, is this is an industry that's already in transformation. It's an industry that can accelerate that transformation through the use of these kinds of solutions, and it was an obvious place to start.
So what about the solution appeals to the healthcare organizations that you've been talking with?
Well, the first thing that appeals to them is, in general, the ability to finally get at this unstructured information and do something useful with it. I'll give you a specific example. In congestive heart failure, there are two key indicators of that are something called LVEF and smoking. LVEF refers to left ventricle ejection fraction, and it's not that complicated. It's how much blood, what's the percentage of blood that your left ventricle pumps out of the heart. If it's less than 50%, that becomes an indicator of congestive heart failure. Well, if you go in and you test for this, then the result that comes back is a text-based form, and your measurement is in that form. So in the past, someone would have to read the form to find this out. And while that sounds simple enough, when you start looking over a population of patients, this becomes problematic. So the ability now to automatically extract these kinds of values from text reports and do analytics on them is hugely valuable, especially since this is a primary contributing factor in things like congestive heart failure. Smoking is another one. Smoking is something that's typically determined by you answering a question on a form and you check off a checkbox. Are you a smoker? Yes, no. But if you think about it, it's a nuanced question. It's really not a yes, no question. How can a checkbox know if you quit smoking 3 years ago, started again 2 years ago, and just quit again recently? Or if you just took up casual cigar smoking? I mean, maybe cigar smoking doesn't even count because you don't inhale. Or if you cut back from 2 packs a day to 1 pack a day. A checkbox can't know these things. It's not a yes, no question. This is where this value of natural language processing comes in, because through understanding the text, we can figure out this true status of whether a patient is smoking or not smoking. So these kinds of capabilities, Jill, are enormously valuable. We're finding that the healthcare organizations we're working with are applying these in a number of areas. We're seeing on the clinical side areas such as diagnostic assistance, clinical treatment effectiveness, critical care intervention, and research for improved disease management. On the operational side, Jill, we're seeing things like readmission prevention, claims management, fraud detection and risk, voice of the patient, patient discharge, and follow-up care. So it's sort of at this intersection of clinical insights and operational outcomes where we're seeing the need for this. In the case of Seton Family Hospitals, who is using the system already, they've zeroed in on critical care intervention and readmission prevention, and they're working right at that intersection. What they're using the solution for is to identify those high-risk patients of congestive heart failure and then figure out which ones require intervention or coordinated care so they can reduce those readmissions and ultimately deliver better care. The president and chief executive officer of Seton Healthcare Family said recently that IBM Content and Predictive Analytics for Healthcare uses the same type of natural language processing as IBM Watson, and it's enabling us to leverage our unstructured information in new ways not possible before. He went on to say that with this solution, We can access an integrated view of relevant clinical and operational information to drive more informed decision-making, optimize patient and operational outcomes. So pretty compelling statement from the chief executive officer of a well-known and respected healthcare organization, Jill.
That's really great. So what type of problems are customers solving with IBM Content and Predictive Analytics for healthcare?
Well, pretty much those same ones I mentioned a moment ago, right there at the intersection of clinical and operational. This transformation that the healthcare industry is going through is really all about accountable care. It's an industry that's in transition from high volume to value. And most organizations have figured out that they not only need to focus on the value that they deliver, but they have the opportunity to deliver accountable care at a lower cost. We keep hearing objectives of things like, you know, improving patient satisfaction at lower cost or enhancing patient care and optimizing those outcomes. And this new solution is right at that heart, Jill, right at that intersection of clinical and operational where this transformation is occurring.
Craig, earlier you mentioned IBM Watson. How do you determine if an organization requires IBM Content and Predictive Analytics for healthcare or IBM Watson?
That's a great question, Jill. IBM Watson, as we saw from Jeopardy, is a very powerful breakthrough technology. In fact, I heard someone say at a conference the other day that every computer built before Watson is just a big calculator. And if you think about it, there's a lot of truth in that, because this is the first computer ever totally based on natural language processing. So it's interesting. We've already announced with WellPoint on September the 12th, that we're working with them in the area of best practices to help physicians advance diagnosis and guide the course of treatment. And we expect that we'll continue with those customers who really want to leverage that next generation of computing. In the meantime, though, Jill, IBM Content and Predictive Analytics for Healthcare puts customers on that Watson path while it solves a different class of problems. So this is considered an on-ramp to Watson, but as you saw in the case of Seton, there are problems that can be solved today, problems that require natural language processing using the same technology as Watson in that area, where we can work with customers to help accelerate that transformation and still put them on that path towards Watson. So it really comes back, Jill, to understanding what the customer's requirements are, working with the customers to figure out what type of solution they need to solve those problems. And in some cases, that will be directly with Watson, and in some cases, that will be with this solution. And that's part of how we work with clients. Technically, Jill, the way the two things are different, and this is part of that decision process, is Watson is really for the purpose of questioning evidence-based knowledge sources to get confidence-based responses. It's a question and answer dynamic. The new solution that we're talking about here today, IBM Content Predictive Analytics, complements that. It's not the same thing as Watson, of course, but it complements it. As I mentioned earlier, it has this ability to analyze and visualize the past. It has this ability to see the present and also to predict the future. So what Seton and others are finding appealing about this solution is that it complements and leverages Watson. It allows us to look at the full context of information. So in that case, if you wanted to ask Watson a question, then you would have other information in context. Maybe you see a trend or a pattern in the information from the last 3 years because of the way that the solution visualizes it. And that would cause you to then want to ask Watson a question to see what Watson thinks about it. So that's kind of it, Jill. We work with the customers on their requirements, and then based on the capabilities of the two different approaches, it becomes pretty simple, actually, to figure out which path is the right path to help move customers along on.
Craig, thanks so much for talking with us today. This has been very informative.
Well, thank you, Jill. I appreciate the opportunity, and I hope you found it valuable.